we start today's show talking technical analysis. Joining me now, Willie Delwich, investment strategist at All Star Charts. And if you want to learn more, allstarcharts.com. Better yet, if you find Willie on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, there's a longer link to highmountresearch.substack.com that is worth pursuing to get more of his work. Willie Delwich, great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
So we are looking at a market that there are a lot of factors that are not technical right now. I mean, and maybe they're showing up in technicals, but whether it's inflation concerns, worries about interest rates, what we're seeing with certain commodity shortages, a whole bunch of stuff that is making people nervous. But is it showing up in the technicals to make you nervous?
It depends on where you look. I think it's the way that I would describe it. You're seeing some unwind in some of the speculative trades that we had earlier this year. And so the tech sector, for example, that a lot of people have exposure to, that's been really weak. The flip side is areas like industrials and materials and financials aren't just making new highs. They're seeing a lot of individual stocks within those areas make new highs. And so if you've got exposure there, this is, you know, it's a great time to be in the market. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that have way too much exposure to tech, and so it feels a little bit more discouraging from that perspective.
Okay, so in other words, it's not as bad on a broad perspective, but if you're heavy tech, yeah, this may be as bad as it feels.
Yes, it's as bad as it feels, and I think a lot of people have way more tech exposure than maybe they should. Well, certainly more than they should. And maybe more than they realize. You know, tech is a heavy component in the S&P 500. I think people have been layered in additional tech exposure because that's what's worked over the past, you know, few years. And so it's left them vulnerable to some of the volatility, even if the market overall is holding up pretty well.
This has been a strong positive year. You could take a look and for a lot of people, you know, it's always been sell in May and go away. Well, if you sold in May and you didn't do anything for the rest of the year, you're going to be up 8%-ish roughly, depending on how you've got your account allocated, obviously. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would be okay with that, but it doesn't feel okay. And in fact, the pushback off of recent highs, what we saw last week, was really getting folks nervous. If we're going to see a little bit of a setback, is it a little bit of a setback or do we have something bigger? I mean, there seems to be so many positives here. It's hard for me to believe that whatever next big drop is coming next. Like a drop makes sense to me. A crash doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it. I think if we step back and first just set the table saying 2021 is not 2020. And what we mean by that is this is the second year of a cyclical rally. And so some volatility, some push forward, some pullback, that's to be expected. So that's normal. That's, you know, healthy to some degree. The question is, I think to your point, is it just that digestion or do you actually see some sort of broad deterioration? And unless you see these cyclical value areas that are leading now really start to deteriorate and start to see like staples and utilities move up in terms of a leadership role, then I think you're talking about a digestion phase that's entirely normal as part of kind of year two of a cyclical rally, even though it's going to feel worse for people that are overexposed to the areas that you could do no wrong Q4 of last year and even the first part of this year. So depending on where you are, it's going to feel different. The market overall, I think, is on pretty firm footing from a cyclical perspective right here.
If you had to tilt, we know you want to be tilting away from technology, that's been the part where people have been overweighted and maybe they're feeling more of the pinch. If there's anything out there particularly that you like right now, what is it?
Yeah, so I think you can look at the cyclical value areas, specifically areas that did well last week while the market was overall struggling. So financials and materials both made new highs last week. Staples did as well, but they're not leading in the same way that financials and materials are. Where else in the world are you seeing things make new highs? Gold continued to do well last week. Internationally, frontier markets, I think, are an area that investors could look at as kind of that exposure to global rebound, even though emerging markets overall aren't doing well. Frontier markets continue to make new highs.
Here's something that you and I have never really discussed. We've talked on the fringes about cryptocurrency, but crypto being a new, if you want to call it and consider it an asset class, which is an argument that is kicking around in the investment world. Well, it does seem to be something that the vast majority of its proponents are using some measure of technical analysis to try to figure out how am I trading whatever cryptos I'm doing. We keep seeing the evolution and development of new cryptos. Are those things that you want to be using technical analysis on? I mean, does it work out of the box if you're talking about something like Dogecoin, where so much of it seems to be on, you know, popularity and headlines?
I think that the answer to that is yes, definitely. What is technical analysis? But, you know, it's an interplay of supply and demand and how people are feeling about, you know, different asset classes. To some extent, crypto is a great proving grounds for that. You can make kind of the fundamental case for why you need alternatives to the dollar. I don't think cryptocurrency is there right now, but in terms of a trading mechanism to it, to express different views, I think you see that show up, you know, quite well in cryptocurrencies. So yeah, I think, you know, throwing up charts on it and looking at it from a technical perspective probably makes at least as much sense and maybe more sense than any other way to look at crypto right now.
And when you're looking at crypto that way, does that take out the emotion of like, do I like crypto? Do I trust crypto? Because you can look at a chart. I mean, a chart's a chart, right? Yeah. Like a chart can tell you to buy. And I could say, what does this chart tell me to buy? And you could look and go, well, that could be XYZ stock or that could be crypto, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I think you can, you don't need to be a proponent of I'm going to use cryptocurrency to replace dollars in my wallet. But you can't, you don't need to go that far, but you can say this is something I can trade as a, you know, is it a currency or is it a commodity? I think you could go back and forth there, but either way, you can trade it and you can take advantage of the price action there. I like to think of myself as being kind of asset class agnostic. So if we can chart it and we can, you know, get a sense of what the trend is, that's good enough for me.
Willie, it is always great to chat with you. It is more than good enough to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chuck.
That's Willie Delwich. He's on Twitter, at Willie Delwich. Easy enough, right? He's investment strategist for All Star Charts. It's allstarcharts.com. No hyphens, no dashes, no nothing. Just allstarcharts.com. This was a great way for us to start the May 18th edition of Money Life, but we've got a lot more to go. A little bit later, I'll be talking with Brian Smolik from Hood River Small Cap Growth in the market call. But next, it's the big interview. Talking with Doug Loeffler from Sierra Investment Management when we come back.